I know what you're going to hear at those holiday parties. Everyone says they'll start after the holidays. And that's exactly why most people never tackle those extra pounds at all. Right now, PhD Weight Loss is making it easy to start before the new year with a bonus designed to get you moving now. They're adding 2 free weeks to your program. That means you can ramp up during the holidays and start the new year already working towards your goal. Those 2 free weeks means you won't roll into January feeling behind. PhD's metabolic reset system teaches your body to burn fat first. No drugs, no starvation diets, no endless workouts. Just a smarter, science-based system that fits real life. And when you mention 2 weeks on the phone, they'll waive your consultation fee and pay for the cost of your food during the program. There's no reason to wait. Call PhD Weight Loss today and start 2026 already ahead. 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
Holiday shopping time is running out, so give a gift that actually gets used. Odyssey Vehicle Outfitters, home of Rhino Linings of Greenville, has gift certificates ready for the ladies and the men on your list. From spray-on bedliners and protective coatings to lift kits, wheels, lighting, racks, steps, and custom accessories. And they can upgrade their ride any way they want, whether they work hard, play hard, or hit the trails every weekend. This is the gift they'll remember long after the holidays are over. Don't wait. Grab holiday gift certificates now at odysseyvehicleoutfitters.com and wrap up something Rhino tough.
South Carolina and all the ships at sea. Ramona, don't you think that's the most hideous court you've ever seen? I don't know how you can even play in that court. That bright red, hideous,
oh, yeah, that's
awful
annoying.
Court. Yeah, it's just awful. We have lots
I
to
agree.
Get to today. Let me just say right off, tomorrow is the Bowl Spectacular Show at Mellow Mushroom in Clemson from 5 to 8. So get out for that. 5 to 8, Mellow Mushroom, live bowl show. In Clemson, very easy to get to. Come on out and partake in the festivities. We have to start with Clemson basketball, obviously. Oh, by the way, Ramon, that's what I was going to talk to you about earlier. a tale of two halves. I thought Clemson, and look, this is sort of the nature of basketball. Anytime you have a 20-point lead at half and you're playing an opponent that has likability, you have to worry. You have to worry because it's not the way basketball goes. You know the other team is going to go on a run. I wrote that at halftime of the game. I knew they would go on a run. They did go on a run. The problem is the run extended most of the second half. And I'm not sure you're ever going to see two more diverse halves. I thought in the first half,
particularly in the last 7-8 minutes of the first half. I thought that's the best I've ever seen Clemson basketball play. Ever. Ever. Anytime, anywhere, anyplace. The last 7-8 minutes of the first half were unbelievable. Clemson Ramona went on a 21-0 run to end the first half.
Wow.
Against a team that was number 9 in the country.
Wow.
And they got every loose ball. They won all the hustle points. Everybody was playing out of their minds. Porter was drilling threes. I think he had 4 threes in the first half. Clemson was playing the beautiful game. Defensively, they were everywhere. Incredibly frustrating to BYU. BYU couldn't get a good look. They couldn't make a shot in the last 7-8 minutes. All their looks were challenged and defended. Clemson was killing them on the glass. Offensive rebounding was awesome. Player movement, ball reversal, attacking the gaps. Clemson was just playing the absolute beautiful game. They were playing the best basketball I have ever seen them play. And yet, you know, I still have concerns because I understand how the game is played and what happens in basketball. So I wrote the first 4 minutes of the second half are going to be very important. And the first 4 minutes of the second half is when it started in the other direction. And the funny part about it is the first two BYU possessions both resulted in turnovers, but Clemson only turned it into 1 point. And that was unfortunate. And then DeBonsa got going. Clemson had no answer for DeBonsa, obviously, in the second half. DeBonsa played his best game of the year. I didn't necessarily expect that. But big-time stage, big-time player. I mean, you saw why he's potentially the number one pick. You know, I hear the Tracy McGrady comparisons. I don't love that comparison. But I think that DeBonsa is just an absolute freak. And I think that that freakdom was on display. And Clemson had no answers for him. Clemson still should have won the game. It didn't matter how many points DeBonsa scored. Clemson still should have won the game. It was an offensive breakdown in the second half as much as it was a defensive breakdown. And the Tigers just didn't score. And a big part of that was they just let BYU set up in their half-court defense and did not challenge it. BYU is running 2-on-2 full-court, three-quarter-court pressure. And when you break that pressure, you just have to attack it. And the Clemson guards did not do a good job of that in the second half. Brad said he kept basically pleading with them to do so. It didn't happen. That's the whole key. There's no other key. That's the whole key. Clemson, listen, BYU, when the ball is going in the basket, everything looks better. For Clemson, in the last 7-8 minutes of the first half, the ball is going in the basket. The defense intensifies. The sort of team spirit, the momentum all intensifies, and it was all downhill, and BYU couldn't do anything about it. In the second half, the exact opposite happened. And it was suddenly Clemson who couldn't do anything right, and BYU couldn't do anything wrong. And then BYU's defense intensified. You know, what I saw on film with BYU is there are a lot of games where they just didn't move their feet defensively. And I said that yesterday. And I said I think Porter's going to get open looks because of it. And that all happened. Those things all happened exactly as I thought they would. But the BYU that showed up in the second half was a completely different team. That did move their feet defensively, that did a much better job, that did a better job competing on the glass, that hurt Clemson on their offensive glass. And Clemson, in those first 4 minutes of the second half, must have had like 6 shots just roll off the rim. Good looks, shots you have to finish. You have to finish through contact. These are physical games. You've got to be able to finish through contact around the rim. You know, people talked about Clemson getting shots blocked, and that's happened. But that's a part of finishing through contact. You know, the way you deal with a shot blocker is you go into them. You've got to put your body into them. When you do, they can't jump. If you allow a shot blocker space, yes, they're going to block your shot. So you've got to go into them physically. You've got to play that game. The last 7-8 minutes of the first half, Clemson was physically dominant. The rest of the game, really, BYU physically dominated. All the Clemson grit and toughness sort of went away in the second half. And a big part of it is when the ball doesn't go in. But Clemson stagnated on offense in the second half. And part of it is, again, BYU did a much better job of moving their feet defensively. They did not do a good job of that in the first half, and Clemson got whatever shot they wanted. In the second half, it became a little more one-on-one for Clemson. You didn't see the ball reversal. You didn't see the attacking. And in the half court, Clemson really stagnated. So the answer to that is you have to beat them down the court. That's the answer. You have to aggressively beat them down the court. You have to make them pay for extending and pressuring, just like you did the last three quarters of the Georgia game. Three quarters or so. The first 10 minutes of the game was really all Georgia. The last 30 minutes or so was all Clemson because they attacked Georgia's full court pressure, and they made them pay on the back end. And that's what Clemson needed to do in the second half. There's no question. And the guards didn't play well. You know, Dillon showed up at the end and scored five straight points. And really, he got fouled on the drive to the basket. DeBonta bodied him up. That wasn't called. It should have been called. But Dillon didn't play well. And he's played really well in all these other games. But he did not play well. And he wasn't aggressive enough. And he's got to be a key in attacking. Look, it's his court game that's a key to the backcourt. And he's got to be a key to attacking that pressure. And he just wasn't last night. I mean, he was sort of the invisible man last night in the second half during those 17 minutes or so. Again, at the end of the game, he had a one-person little rally. It wasn't a one-person. Buddy Johnson hit a three. Dillon hit a three. And then Dillon hit the drive to tie the game. And, you know, and so, look, they did fight back at the end. And they tied it. You know, it... Look, the game was a little reminiscent of South Carolina's football game against Texas A&M, where South Carolina dominates the first half, A&M comes back and wins the second half. The distinction there is South Carolina is not a good football team, and Clemson is a good basketball team. That's the distinction. But it was a little reminiscent of that type of deal, especially as far as momentum goes. And you were hoping that there would be something that stopped it at some point. You know, in the Clemson-West Virginia game, at the end of the game, Welling goes on a personal 13-point run that Dillon Hunter actually aided with a couple assists to Welling. But you needed somebody to do that. You needed somebody to get hot or something because there was just no offense. The whole second half, there was no offense. It was fairly unbelievable. It was going from the insane efficiency that Clemson had in the last 7 minutes. And somewhere along the line, you know, the Tigers are going to have to figure out how to play two halves because that's a problem right now. This team is basically seemingly playing one good half of basketball and the other half is far different in most cases, good or bad. I mean, look, you just played two of the top teams in the country. One of them was on the road in their building. The other was at Madison Square Garden, and you coulda, woulda, shoulda won both games. But at the very least, you were competitive, highly competitive in both games. And you're going to be invited back because that's exactly what they needed. The Jimmy V Classic, the Jimmy V Foundation games last night, great basketball was played. It was uneven, certainly in that first game. And the nightcap between UConn and Florida was a great game. They got what they wanted. They got what they wanted. And Clemson's going to get more invitations because of the way Clemson played. It's just unfortunate that you couldn't find... Look, once DeBonta got going, DeBonta had like five in the first half. I saw that act before. I saw him do the exact same thing against UConn. We had like five in the first half against UConn. Then he dominated the second half, and BYU came from way down against UConn. They were down like 20 at the half in that game, and they came all the way back, and they wound up losing by two to Connecticut, 86-84. That's the only loss they have. Well, once DeBonta got going, Clemson couldn't turn him off. And it didn't matter which body type they threw at him. They threw different body types at him. They tried lots of things. It didn't work. It didn't work. But that alone did not cost you the game. Once DeBonta got going, he was going to get his points. And he did. He got his points. And Clemson wasn't really going to be able to shut that off. You didn't need to shut it off. What you needed to do was score, you know, five more points. Eight more points. Somebody needed to make a shot in the first 17 minutes. That's what needed to happen. And every time Clemson missed, it just fueled BYU. And that's what happened. And it's just, it's a strange game that way. And it just, it works that way so often. Like, for example, in the nightcap of that game, in the last few minutes of the first half, Florida against UConn went 0 for 10. Florida starts the second half against UConn, they go 9 for 10. And then later on, they went 1 for 10 again. It's sort of the nature of basketball. But what you hope to be able to do is, and what you have to be able to do, is you've got to be good enough and tough enough to be able to survive it. It's not always going to look pretty. I mean, a 4-point win last night would have looked great, even though the second half still would have been ugly. And that's what you somehow needed to get out of that, and you didn't. You didn't because nobody answered the bell. Nobody basically. Clemson did not lose the game on the last shot, okay? Clemson lost the game over the first 17 minutes of the second half, and I think really in the first 4 minutes of the second half. I thought that changed the whole nature of the game. And look, I give BYU credit. They hung tough. They made plays. They played tougher. They answered what Clemson did in the last 7-8 minutes, and it was disappointing without question that Clemson could not find an answer. Anybody, you know, again, you go 10 deep. Anybody to have scored a few baskets anywhere in the realm of the whole second half. It was just incredible. And like I said, there was a stretch there where shot after shot just rolled off the rim. I mean, there were a couple balls that were on the rim that I just could not believe did not drop. But they didn't. And that further fueled BYU. But again, look, and all of Clemson's bigs need to know this. All of them. You got to play through contact. It's a physical game. I don't know what it was like playing, you know, out in Utah and wherever else you came from. All right. But you have to play through contact here. You have to play through contact. And you've got to be able to finish through contact. And you got to be able to get to the line. And Clemson did not play strong enough with the ball last night in the second half. In any way, shape, or form. The unforced errors, the turnovers, when the momentum changed, all the things that were happening to BYU negatively in the last 7-8 minutes of the first half, it happened to Clemson over 17 minutes. Clemson did not play strong with the basketball. They did not move the ball the same way they did in the first half. And now part of that was BYU's defense intensified, and it became a little harder to move the ball. It wasn't as easy. In the last 7-8 minutes, Clemson had carte blanche. They used great ball reversal. They attacked BYU. They drove gaps. They did everything that you could possibly do. In the second half, when BYU's defense intensified, it became a little more difficult to just execute ball reversal and to get the shots you wanted. But you had to expect some of that, and you had to fight through some of that. And so it wasn't the best half of Clemson grit. It wasn't. And all of Clemson's bigs and the guards did not play well in the second half of that game, period. None of them, right? Because it was really up to the guards to create tempo and create offense off of BYU's extended pressure. You've got to break that press, and you have to attack. That's how Clemson needed those easy baskets. When that old game changed, Clemson needed easy baskets. They needed transition offense off of that pressure. They needed not to play in the half court because that wasn't working at all. And Brad knew that and told them that. And somehow it still didn't translate. So I didn't think any of the guards played well in the second half at all. And I didn't think the bigs played well either. The guards didn't play well because they did not handle that pressure and attack that pressure and make them pay on the other side. The bigs didn't play well because they didn't finish through contact around the rim. And the shot chart will demonstrate that. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, quick break.
It's that time of year again, and you're trying to figure out what gifts to get your family. We know everyone is busy, and who wants to deal with all the Christmas traffic and shopping congestion? Elite Custom Golf Carts wants to make your life easy. Come and see us and get a gift the whole family will love. With free delivery in our custom sleighs and complete with a big red bow, you'll see the shine in your family's eyes when they see your Christmas surprise. Stop by one of our three locations in the Upstate and let our elves, friendly staff, help you find that perfect gift. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family-owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
Hey guys, this Christmas season, why don't you give yourself the gift that keeps on giving? Peak testosterone from Lowcountry Male. Take advantage of our limited time $99 consult offer. Get your labs checked and spend an hour with one of our providers. We will craft a customized plan with testosterone, peptides, supplements, and high-dose compounded 3-in-1 super ED pills. Our concierge plans have helped thousands of men, 9 locations in South Carolina and Georgia. Book today, lowcountrymale.com.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Share a box or two at your business meeting, at church, or with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
We're here, Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. I always think about your company being a residential tree and shrub company, but from a commercial standpoint, you guys do a great job there as well, right, Eric?
We found that trees don't care where they grow. You know, if it's at your house or if it's at your business, they're still a tree, and we love trees. We love shrubs. In fact, you know, we are the tree care company for Clemson University. So, yeah, we do a lot of commercial work. Big properties, small properties. You can find us on the web at SnyderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Get lost in the sound of nature, not in long haul times.
At Upcountry Fiber, we believe our neighbors deserve better. Real people right here in your community, ready to help. No pressure, no surprise fees, just fast, reliable internet and friendly local service. And right now, you'll save $15 a month for a year on any fiber internet plan. Upcountry Fiber, certified local. Visit upcountryfiber.com/year of internet. Upcountry Fiber, a stronger connection.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and all always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Fall means football, and the Tigers roar loudest here.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw, going to throw it deep, down long, there's Wesco! Catches it at the 40, off the race, and he goes! Touchdown! Wesco from 76.
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Rejoins. Texas said that guy went crazy and Brad didn't shut him down. Brad isn't playing, and there's no way to shut a guy like that down once he gets off. You just can't. I mean, he's just too good. There's nothing you can do. He's just better than you. There's nothing you can do. Once he gets going, that happens. And you're going to give up some of that. Look, Clemson, Stone, Saunders. Saunders did nothing in the game. All right. And defensively, it was pretty good other than the DeBonsa fiasco. But that's not why they lost. They lost because they couldn't score in the second half. That's why they lost. DeBonsa's points would have been meaningless had Clemson been able to execute offensively in the second half. Jed writes, don't we give him credit for the rally there at the end? Yeah, I mean, a little bit, Jed. But to be honest, it wasn't a good 17 minutes. And it's frustrating because I think you played like you deserved to win and you just sort of let it slip away. And for all the reasons I indicated, yeah, they did fight back in the last, you know, couple minutes of the game. They did. And I'm not surprised at that. And look, the bottom line, there's a bottom line and a big picture to this, all right? They just went to Madison Square Garden, played the number 9 team in the country, and they lost on a shot at the buzzer. Had I told you that yesterday, you would have said, oh, that's pretty good, because it is pretty good. And Clemson's a top 20 team, okay? I don't care what happened. The way Clemson played at Alabama and in the Garden against Brigham Young, Clemson's a top 25 team. They just are. They are. And I always said to you before the year, I mean, I said this a million times, that there were going to be ups and downs to this, that it was going to take 10 or 12 games to put these pieces together, and it still obviously is. But the second half, Clemson lost that game because the guards did not attack in the full court. Clemson needed to attack that pressure and make BYU pay because the half-court offense was no longer working. It was no longer working. So you had to find a different way to score. I mean, you're at the end of the game, and before that little run, I think Clemson scored like 8 in the second half. It was like 8 in 17 minutes or something. 8-9 points in 17 minutes. DeBonsa didn't beat you. DeBonsa got his. Fine. He could have got his in defeat if anybody had scored. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Again, listen. The bottom line is, I still love this team. I love what I'm seeing. I love basically almost everything I'm seeing. I did not love the 17 minutes in the second half. I did not love that. And it's frustrating because of how well you played in the first half, especially those last 7-8 minutes where I thought Clemson played the best I have ever seen Clemson basketball play, ever. Ever. And then you had that second half turnaround. And, you know, it's sort of funny because the Alabama game was the opposite. Clemson was really bad in the first half, couldn't buy a shot. And then you had the second half turnaround there in Clemson's favor. Both games were 20-point games in a different direction. And that's what you have to figure out. You've got to figure out how to win those games now. You've proven you can compete against these elite teams. And we've said all along, no one's blowing this team out. No one has. And this team has 3 losses, and they're all close games. Now you got to figure out how to win those games. You got to figure out what it takes to win those games, and some of it's on an individual basis. Last night, the fail was on offense. The fail was in the inability to attack the full court pressure of BYU and to make them pay as you did Georgia for their full court pressure. Again, it's a different type of pressure, some similarities, but you know, Clemson attacked Georgia's full court pressure and made them pay on the back end. And that's what needed to happen in the second half, and it just didn't. And the guards didn't play well, and the bigs didn't play well in the second half. Like I said, the guards didn't play well because they did not attack the pressure, and that's up to them. The bigs didn't play well because they did not finish through contact around the rim. Scott in Greenville. Scott, how are you, Scott?
Walt, I'm getting a little nervous, man, because I'm starting to agree with you on some things, and that scares me to death sometimes.
That would make you right on everything, so make sure you need to do that all the time. So you're finally coming around. It's about time.
I do listen to you a little bit on Underdog, but hey, man, that game last night, 8 minutes of euphoric blue blood basketball. We looked like we'd been playing basketball for years,
yep,
and that was our dominant sport. We looked like a Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky or Gonzaga, or, you know, and for 8 minutes it was crazy. Porter was laying out of his mind. I was like, holy cow. I've watched a lot of basketball. I've never seen an underdog team take it to a ranked top 10 opponent for 22 unanswered points.
Yeah, in that manner. I mean, like I said, Scott, I thought that's the best 7-8 minutes I have ever seen Clemson basketball play, ever, anytime, anywhere.
I agree.
And yet still I was writing, I'm still concerned about the first 4 minutes, and I know BYU, and I wrote, you know, I know BYU's going on a run. I know that. I wrote that at halftime, and I just still thought Clemson would survive that run. I thought that.
Because your heart is saying, "Hey, I'm watching blue blood basketball, euphoric basketball," but your brain is actually saying, "This is Clemson. This is how things go. This thing's gonna get a lot closer."
Well, it's basketball, Scott. Again, it's basketball. Like I said, Florida, UConn. In the Alabama game, we saw the same thing from the opposite direction. Alabama had the 20-point halftime lead, and Clemson stormed back. 20-point leads mean nothing against teams of likability in basketball anymore. They don't mean anything if you don't finish the deal. It just doesn't mean a thing. You know, last night, Florida-UConn, Florida in the last X number of minutes of the first half, they go 0-for-10 from the field. And they start the second half, they go 9-for-10 from the field. And then later on, they went 1-for-10 again. So, you know, it's just part of it is just the nature of the game of basketball. But you have to find a way to fight through that and win the game. And that's what was disappointing last night. And it happened for those reasons. It wasn't Dabonsa going off. Dabonsa's points basically didn't matter if Clemson had just executed and had made them pay the price.
Just got complacent, I think, and you know, I went online after the game, and I have to stop doing that after losses because, I mean, you see the fire Brownells, and you know,
oh my God!
And I told a buddy of mine, was like, I can't believe we blew a 21-point lead, and I said, hey, it's all about perspective. You're looking at it from the 21-point lead blown, and I'm looking at it from, man, we just played the number 9-10 team in the country and the number 12 team in the country to the wire, and if either one of them games had been in Little John, we're winning.
That's exactly right. And again, still early in the season for this team. Like we said before the year, that there were going to be some bumps because there were a lot of pieces to blend and sort of figure out, and you're still in that process.
Right. Hey, JP posted a while ago online, Jason Priester posted about, did you see where Notre Dame – has canceled the book signing in their bookstore?
I think they've had a change of mind there, and they are now doing it. So I think they finally came correct in that regard because it was another ridiculous move.
How petty is that? You know, and I want to ask you, well, how did
you know? You know, the one thing I will say, Scott, though. Look, the reality is this is all we see from everybody. And if it was Clemson who got screwed over, we would have seen the same type of things from Clemson. You know, remember Lane Kiffin? Lane Kiffin cried for a whole year about being left out. Remember Florida State? Now, they got left out of a four-team deal. But, I mean, those people were, like, violent for 2 years. And, you know, I think this is the nature of the beast we've created. And anytime anybody gets left out, you're going to hear them whining and complaining and attacking, and that's who we are now.
But how did we get here with Notre Dame, Walt? I mean, I'm 54 years old. Notre Dame has not been relevant for more time in my life than they were relevant than they were, you know, during my life. They've had what, 40 something years of irrelevance? They haven't done anything since Rocket Ismail.
Well,
when I was in high school.
Yeah, I don't know, Scott. They were in the national championship game last year.
I get that one time. When's the last time? We played them in the playoffs and blew them out.
Yeah, but this is a different Notre Dame now. Let's be honest. I mean, Marcus Freeman's Notre Dame is a lot different than Brian Kelly's Notre Dame. Notre Dame now is 100% legitimate. And I think everyone knows that had they got in, they were one of the teams that had a legitimate chance to win. By the way, I don't know whether there's any truth to this rumor, but I'm seeing a lot of suggestions about Marcus Freeman, the New York Giants. You know, we've talked about all these job openings. If Marcus Freeman goes to the Giants, then Notre Dame opens.
Hey, have you noticed he hasn't said anything?
You're 100% right. He's been the one guy who's been sort of noticeably quiet.
Yeah, he just stands back. And to me, that's his nature. He's just kind of sitting back, hasn't said a word. I'm wondering the same, you know, with the Giants thing. I'm wondering if he's like, you know what? I don't want a part of this circus. Let me take my monkeys and go somewhere else and take that leap to the NFL. I'm thinking we may be fixing to see that in that. I think the AD over there is acting like a clown, but Marcus Freeman is very stoic, very classy.
Yeah.
I love Marcus Freeman, but I'm just like, you know, what moves he fixing to make next? But anyway, I wanted to chime in and just tell you, man, I agree with you 1,000% on this basketball team. I've had writers for Clemson telling me that Clemson is not a tournament team this year. I think they're off their
rocker. Bull crap.
I think Clemson's a Sweet 16 team.
Yep, this team is 100% going to the tournament. This team is 100% going to the tournament. 100%. Yep.
Oh yeah, I believe so too, sir.
Thank you, Scott. Right. Yep, good talking to you. Yep. I don't know how you can go on the road and play Alabama and take the lead in the second half late in that game and then go to Madison Square Garden and be cleaning BYU's clock and they win on a last second shot at the end of the game and think you don't belong with them. That's mystifying to me. That's absolutely mystifying to me. If somebody wrote me earlier and said, you know, Brunell's teams were known in the past for, you know, offense or something. That's true. There was a time that was true, but that hasn't been true for a long time. That hasn't been true for a long time. But last night, second half was ugly offensively, and that's why they lost. Again, DeBonta's points, when a guy like DeBonta, a player of that level, gets off, you know, and again, some are comparing him to Tracy McGrady. There's a little bit of that, I guess. But when a guy like that gets off, you don't have a dude to stop him, all right? There's no dude in college basketball who can stop him, all right? That's not possible. The guys who might be able to play with him are all in the NBA, all right? So you're not, once he gets off, you're not really stopping him. And Clemson's always done a good job defensively against these star players, but this guy was just too much. He was too much last night. But that's not why Clemson lost. Clemson could have easily survived his little run and his 22 second half points, easily, just by scoring. Again, 17 minutes, I think it was like 8 points in 17 minutes. That's how you lost. I mean, you wound up losing on a shot at the buzzer. And so this just proves DeBonta's points didn't matter. All right? Did not really matter. You lost on a shot at the buzzer despite scoring 8 points in like 17 minutes, 8, 9, whatever it was. That's how you lost. And again, the real reason you lost is you did not attack the full court pressure. That's why you lost. That's on the guards, primarily on the guards. Guards, none of them played well. Texter wrote me earlier and said Foster had 2 bad turnovers, didn't he? 100%. 100% he had 2 bad turnovers. He's a super talented player. He's got to play stronger with the ball when it matters. Got to play stronger with the ball. He did not. You know, and those were the things. As all that momentum started to change, these were the things. Clemson, again, did not push the ball up the court. The guards did a bad job, did not take advantage of BYU's pressure and make them pay on the other end. The bigs did not finish around the rim, did not finish through contact. You did not get to the free throw line. And so these are the reasons that Clemson lost that game. It's not the DeBonta run. Walt Tiptula Road Rage, quick break.
It's been an incredible year of college football, and once again, the Roar will host our annual bowl game preview show Thursday at Mellow Mushroom Clemson from 5 till 8. How many of y'all had Indiana ranked number one going in? What about JMU getting in for the first time ever? We'll have lots to talk about, whether it's the Snoop Dogg Bowl or the Natty. Join the Roar staff Thursday from 5 till 8, Mellow Mushroom Clemson, for a night of college bowl game previews. Mellow Mushroom, Tiger Boulevard, Clemson.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
When you've thrown over 4,000 innings like I have, you know joint pain isn't a maybe, it's a guarantee. For you, was it climbing ladders or too much heavy lifting? Hey, we're all in the same boat. But surgery, that was never my answer.
Baseball legend Roger Clemens knows there's a better way. That's QC Kinetics regenerative treatments that help your body heal itself. No scalpels, no fake fixes, just real relief.
What I love about QC Kinetics, these are the most respected medical pros in the country that specialize in non-surgical therapies to get you moving again.
And you don't need to leave your home or office. Meet with a QC Kinetics medical professional on a free telemedicine video. Call today. Find out if you're a candidate.
I trusted QC Kinetics. You should too.
Call QC Kinetics today and schedule your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454.
It's Christmas time in the Upstate, and what a great time for the Toyota of Easleyathon. With special rates and holiday bonus cash, it is time to put that new Toyota under your tree. A great example is the Toyota BZ. With 0% for 72 months and an extra $3,500 in bonus cash, you can be hauling your family around in style. Toyota of Easley, your one-stop shop for stylish vehicles at a great low price. Stop by 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway or shop online at toyotaofeasley.com.
Fans, we feel it. Football season is in full swing, and the best place to get in on all the action is Underdog. You hear me talking about Underdog every single day, and there's a good reason for it, because I play Underdog every single day, especially, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. All football days, all great days to play with Underdog. It's easy to play. Just pick whether your favorite player is going higher or lower on stats like passing and rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and much more. And if you do a good job, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. It's so easy to play, and it's even easier to get started. Download the app today and use promo code OOB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus, present South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets at underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
It's bow time. Two Bojangles steak biscuits for $5 means two times the tender, two times the flavor, two times the country fried, change your life, need another bite goodness you crave. Order yours today. It's bow time.
Discover Reed's Jewelers, America's largest family-owned jeweler, and their state-of-the-art expanded store in Haywood Mall. The same location, with nearly twice the showroom space as before. Dedicated to bringing you amazing savings on diamonds, watches, and more. All with the same superior customer service they've always provided. You'll be amazed at the 21st century appeal of the new Reed's Jewelers expanded store. Reed's Jewelers, next to Belk on the top floor in Haywood Mall. Online at Reed's.com.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Walked up to the Road Rage. We are back. You want in 654-7627 and get in and join the conversation. Robert and George, I'm going to answer your text in a second. Chris, how are you, Chris? Good to have you.
Hey, Walt. You know, I was watching the game last night, and, you know, like the rest of the Clemson Nation, I was getting stoked in the first half of that game. I mean, we were punching them in the mouth for 20 minutes and asking them how they liked it.
Yep.
But then we come back in the second half, and everybody saw what happened in the second half. But I'm wondering, you know, was that more us or was that them? Did they come out and just shut us down in the second half, or was it a lack of momentum on our part after the stoppages, after halftime, and after they were fixing the backboard and all that stoppage? You know, who is this more on? Was this more attributed to their their stepped up play in the second half, or was that more on us just being lackadaisical? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. The answer is both, and it's not. You know, I hate to use the word lackadaisical, but in a way it is, because Clemson didn't attack that full court pressure like they needed to in the second half. When the offense became more difficult in the second half, and things were bogging down in the half court, because BYU, you know, listen. There is an element of basketball where we tried to define everything. We tried to define, you know, this went wrong and this went wrong and this went wrong and that went wrong. And sometimes what it really has to do with is whether the ball, whether the round object is going through the peach basket or not. When you see the ball go in, everything gets better. Your defense intensifies. Now, you don't want it to be this way. You want your defense to be self-reliant, to be there for you regardless of whether the ball's going in or not. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. When the ball goes in, everything picks up. Your intensity picks up. It's just the way it is. And when it doesn't go in for a while, it sags. You know, and the other team gains momentum. And momentum in basketball, in any sport, we've seen it in every which way. We saw it in the Super Bowl with New England and the Atlanta Falcons. We saw it in a South Carolina-Texas A&M football game of late. We see it all the time, but we especially see it in basketball, where due to the three-point line and just the way the game is played, 20-point leads mean nothing when you're facing a like-level opponent. They mean nothing if you don't finish them off. And that's why I thought the first 4 minutes of the second half was imperative. And the saddest thing is, it got off to a really good start. BYU turned it over the first two times, and Clemson had two potential runouts, and I think scored 1 point off of that. And that went away quickly. And you know, you went from a 22-point lead down to like 10 in like 2 seconds, is what it felt like. And now it's a completely different game. And now you've got to find a way to stop the bleeding. And Clemson never stopped the bleeding. And it was this whole assortment of reasons. You know, Texter mentioned, you know, Foster had two bad turnovers. He did. Very bad turnovers at an awful point in the game when the game was like 9. The lead was down to like 9. And you can't commit those two turnovers there. Now, he's a freshman. He's immensely talented. But, you know, this is part of the growing up phase. This is where you learn, but those are the things that have to get better. Because again, look, the fact that BYU was going to make a second half run, that's called basketball. That was 100% predictable, and I said it and wrote it at halftime. And I wrote that the first 4 minutes would be key, that BYU is going to go on a run. But what you hope to happen is you hope to sort of survive their run and win the game. You know, so if they cut it from 20 to 4, you win by 8. You know, they expend a lot of energy coming back, and you do what you need to do to win. The Clemson did not do that offensively in the second half. And people can talk about the defense all they want in the second half. I'll continue to say, I don't care how you try and play him. When a guy like that, of that ability, gets off, you don't have a guy who can guard him. Bud Johnson was doing the best he could, but, you know, he's 4 inches short on all those shots. By the way, he needs to play more, just in general, because that kid's playing on both ends. He needs to play more. And he's giving you great intensity and great effort on both ends. And he was the guy who's taking on that challenge a lot. And look, obviously that's not ideal. He's at a tremendous height disadvantage. But the reality is Clemson couldn't deal with DeBonce in the second half. But like I said, that's not how you lost, because you lost when you scored 8 points in 17 minutes. And if you had just pushed the ball, if you had done a better job, if the guards had done a better job, the bigs had done a better job around the basket, you easily win the game, and it doesn't matter how many points DeBonce scores. They're all hollow, empty points. It doesn't matter. They look good on a stat sheet. They don't impact the game. That's not how Clemson lost. It's not how Clemson lost. Now, did Clemson fuel their offense in the first half with their defense? Yeah, or the other way around. One of those two things happened, or both of them happened. All true. Robert says, and it's funny because Dylan makes a couple of plays at the end and Clemson finds a way to tie it, and you think like it's going to overtime, especially after BYU was sort of mindless and Wright himself a little lazy in bringing the ball up the court, and they get a timeout with 1.3 left or whatever, and you're thinking, well, you know, this is probably going to overtime. Now, I thought he was just going to let the clock run out for a minute. I didn't know what he was doing. He seemed like he had no plan at all. And at that point, I thought, okay, this is going to overtime, and now Clemson's reestablished the momentum with a little run by Butter Johnson. Hit a three there, and then Dylan hit a three, and then Butter Johnson hit the driving layup, which he got fouled on, which was not called. And so Clemson did respond right there at the end and still did fight back to get it, I thought, to overtime. And I think had it gone to overtime, I think Clemson would have had the advantage, because I think the Tigers rallied late, and then they sort of, for the first time in the second half, established a little bit of momentum. Whether it would have carried over or not, we'll never know. But Robert asks, I know they didn't lose the game in that last play, but was there a breakdown in defense or just a great offensive player combination of both? No, I don't think there was a breakdown of defense. I think Brad felt that RJ might have dropped a little too low on the play, but look, they're trying to keep that inbounds pass going directly to Bonsa, and they're also trying to make sure that they guard Saunders. Even though Saunders hadn't hit a three in the game, he's their best shooter, and he's a guy in that situation you still got to worry about. So, you know, they have legitimate weapons, and Wright is obviously one of those weapons. But he was the last option on the play, and Clemson defended the initial options really well, and sometimes the other guy makes a play. That shot that Wright made, I've watched that shot I don't know how many times. Even when I saw it live, I thought, oh, we're going to overtime. I thought, there's no way he's making that shot. No way. I mean, you have two Clemson defenders who are out there, but they don't want to foul, okay? So they really are doing everything they can. If you make contact with them, you put them on the line, they win the game. So you've got to make him make a shot without – you've got to guard without fouling in that situation. You have to guard without fouling. And he's airborne. He splits those two defenders going, for lack of a better way to put it, well, towards the baseline, but left to right. Left to right, okay? This dude is 40 inches plus in the air, maybe 45 inches. His elevation on that shot was unbelievable, but he is drifting, I mean, like straight to the corner. He is drifting left to right at like warp speed. I mean, this is not he stops and he goes straight up. Watch it. So fundamentally, he's shooting at a moving target. I thought when I saw him catch that ball and I saw him drifting through the air left to right, I thought there's no way this is going to overtime. I could not believe that shot went in. I don't know. Look, he's obviously a great athlete. He's a really good shooter. I think he could have taken that shot 100 times and made it once. Given the body mechanics on that shot, because again, it's not like he caught the ball and went straight up. He was drifting isn't even the word. I mean, he was just flying left to right, if you will. He was just flying through the air sideways when he caught that ball. And he so fundamentally, he's shooting at a moving target. I thought, okay, there's no chance. And he made it. Sometimes, you know, that's the nature of the sport. And he did it. Give him credit. Yoders, established in 1986 by the Yoder family. This family-owned business is based in Fairplay, South Carolina, with the mission to be the most helpful building supply in the region. Yoder's offers a spacious showroom, knowledgeable and friendly staff, extensive selection of high-quality product lines. The company caters to professional contractors, ensuring access to top-tier materials for various building needs. Yoder's Building Services provides a wide range of building materials available both in-stock and through special orders to address the diverse needs of construction projects. Their departments include building materials, lumber, roofing, siding, windows, doors, masonry, hardware, tools, so much more. Engineered wood and truss manufacturing plant. Installed services, cabinet, stone, garage doors. With extensive product knowledge and attention to detail, Yoder stands apart from all the competition. They're your one-stop shop for all your building needs while delivering exceptional service and high-quality materials. Customers are encouraged to visit Yoder's showroom to explore options for their next building project. The staff is more than ready to assist with personalized service and expert advice. 500 East Fairplay Boulevard, Fairplay, 864-972-3003. Tell them I sent you, whether you go, whether you call. Hours Monday to Thursday, 7 to 5, Friday, 7 to 4:30, Saturday and Sunday close. The website is goyoders.com. At Yoder's Building Supply, quality is more than a promise. It's a way of life. That's a fact. Walter Petula, Road Rage, quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Roosters wants to help you give the perfect gift this holiday season. Stuff those stockings with gift cards and shave kits and get their gift boxes for under the tree. Get 10% off products from now until the 24th of December. Give your dad or man in your life the gift of feeling good this season at Roosters. Roosters Men's Grooming Center, located on 3935 Pelham Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Call them at 884-8920 for your next appointment.
For Christmas, treat her to a special day of relaxation and rejuvenation at Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's best spa 13 years in a row. The Lilia Day Spa staff can restore her mind, body, and spirit in a relaxing and private environment. Select from the one-day or many holiday packages. Lilia Day Spa can create something special for her. A gift certificate is ideal for Christmas and shows her you care. 116 Benson Street, downtown Anderson. Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa 13 years in a row.
Did you know State Credit Union now offers the same services big banks offer? Services like online account opening, online loan applications, mobile banking, remote check deposit, personal